Welcome back, world, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your ghost man and demon hunter show. Go ahead, demon hunter.
Warn the people, Sean. There are clowns everywhere.
Clowns?
They're everywhere, Sean.
Spooky clowns.
Clowns.
Freaking hate clowns. Special thanks to our homes, our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Spreaker, the world's listening, Nate. Are you? You're listening to us.
I'm listening.
Spreaker.com. They want to know. Check them out. Planet Paranormal, Geeky Antics Network, Serious Geeks, Silly Fun, GeekyAntics.net, Attentive Home Healthcare, good people willing to help the ones you love in Indianapolis. Check them out, AttentiveHAC.com, and the SOL Project. Give, share. Everybody needs some love.
I need love.
Check them out, the SOL Project.org. Welcome back, world.
Hi, world.
On this Sunday night. Ooh, you hear the electric guitar fading off? I'm fading
off. I do. That's kind of cool. We had that timed really well.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's the end of our show, everybody. Thank you very much. What are we going to talk about? All kinds of stuff. Got a good guest.
Let's see what to talk about. Sean, I'd say we should start with the fact that I have been glued to the TV for a week.
Why have you done that?
Because October is slowly coming towards us, Sean, and they're bringing out all the really good stuff.
I can smell October.
Oh, can't you?
Over the 90-degree heat.
I actually had a nice 71 degrees today, and they're predicting tomorrow to be at around 67 here in New England.
That's
so
beautiful.
I'm kind of loving this chill autumn air.
It's very
sexy. It's officially autumn, Sean.
Yay!
Officially autumn.
I think it's important that we say real quick, Nathan, the Indianapolis Colts lead 20-19 over San Diego Chargers. Fourth quarter, 7:24
left. You think that's important?
Yeah, I do. You know, a lot of our fans are football 9-10 left in the fourth quarter. Colts lead by 1 point. We're going to let it slip. Watch. We're going to lose it, dude. We haven't won a game yet. We're 0-1. If we lose today, it'd be 0-3. But, hey, what are you going to do?
I think.
Go Colts.
I think that's really important, Sean. I'm glad we know. Have you been glued to the TV as well, watching football?
You know, I haven't. I've been all over the place this weekend. We celebrated my birthday. Go ahead with your thing, though.
No, please. Tell me about your birthday. We can talk about TV. I want to know more about that.
Well, it's funny because I was driving home last night and I seen a dead person. They died immediately. And it's 82 degrees in Greenwood, Indiana. Remember that from the Howard Stern?
Yeah.
He goes, in my mother's last breath, I held her hand and I said, oh, by the way, it's 82 degrees. Partly sunny, Greenwood. Oh, Howard Stern, you dick.
So, all right, TV, Sean. I have been glued because two shows started in the last week. Two shows, and first, have you seen American Horror Stories, the new season?
You know what? I seen it. My Roanoke Horror or whatever, and
yep.
I don't get it, Nate. I don't get it.
Honestly, I'm loving it. It's a throwback to the original series, the same similar acting techniques, but they're doing it in a My Ghost Story technique. Like, the people are literally sitting there explaining it, and somebody is recreating what they did.
I feel you. I do.
And I personally find it really interesting because the horror aspect of it so far is not coming, in my opinion, from anything supernatural. It's coming from people.
Right. Right.
Who probably have a supernatural aspect about them. But yeah, man, I'm liking it so far. Ooh. I really am. It's dark. It's spooky. It kept me watching the entire time.
Yeah. Well, isn't it? And I got to look it up. I should have been ready for tonight. But isn't Roanoke a place that is known for, like, Roanoke Colony, also known as the Lost Colony, was established in Roanoke Island in what is today's Dare County, North Carolina?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Roanoke. So apparently this is built in that area. And they say they returned to their home in North Carolina. So it's following that storyline that maybe these are the descendants of the people who were lost, Sean.
We need to have somebody on, like a historian, to do that. I don't know. I was looking it up. The colony was founded by Sir Walter Raleigh. I guess that's where they get the name Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The colonists disappeared. Awesome story, man. During the Anglo-Spanish War, 3 years after the last shipment of supplies from England. I'm reading it off of the Wikipedia for Roanoke. I don't know this by heart, but I did know something because we talked about it on the show. And that's what popped out. Yeah. It said my Roanoke, and that's what popped out. That story we did a couple years ago, I said, oh, I know it's cool, but I don't know why.
Well, it's very cool because it's one of America's first mysteries. It's not the first mystery. I mean, literally, people die, Sean. You expect people to die when they come over from overseas
An entire colony, you know?
But sure, an entire colony can die off, but where were the bodies? I could understand if animals had dragged off a few people, you know, or even most of the people, but you'd find bones or something somewhere.
Right, something.
So this new season takes place. It's got some of the original actors in it, a couple new actors, which I got to say, I was really thrilled to see one of them.
They had radio in there. Radio. Yeah. It's radio. Yeah. No, that's not Denzel. Who is that?
Denzel.
Godfrey. Is it whatever his name is?
Cubic Jr. Gooding Jr. There we go. It was running through my head. I was trying to remember it. I needed to pull up his face in my mind to remember it.
That's right.
But he's playing the character in the story, and I was just really impressed, all over impressed with it. The story so far, folks, is a little convoluted.
Yeah.
And definitely going to need to explain some stuff as we go on. But the aspect of that original horror sensation that you got from the very first series is there. I recommend it. Yeah. I will be talking about it between now and the end of the season, I am sure. Even when Walking Dead comes on, Sean, I'm going to be talking about this series.
Freaking flies in studio. I dare you, sir, to talk about this. So now we should start an American, you know, because we've had some guests from American Horror Story on the show.
That is true. We have.
I forget who they are at the moment. But anyway, hey, man, getting back to the clowns since you brought them up. How rude.
Please tell me more about the clowns.
Freaking clowns. I don't know if you caught this. You probably did because you were all over it. Sharks and clowns, baby. September 24th, Nate. Cops catch creepy clown in Kentucky. You remember last week we was talking about Kentucky been springing.
But they've actually caught one this time.
The bang. You said it. Cops, they catch a creepy clown in Kentucky. So apparently Mr. Smiley here wasn't fast enough. But anyway, guys, September 24th, 2016, the great creepy clown panic of 2016 may have hit its crescendo, as police in Kentucky have managed to arrest a man allegedly in the midst of the frightening an apartment complex. In the midst of frightening an apartment complex.
So these are copycat clowns.
I think so. Well, it might be a whole clown cult. That's why everybody's so excited right now. They want to know what the freak's going on. Like if they hold him down and they twist his nipples and he says, Stephen King, then we'll know. You know, we'll know what it's all about. So
was that a bird in the background?
Yeah, it was. It's actually fans of the show dropping us tweeters while we're on the air. Yeah, that's
tweeter.
Thanks, guys, for doing that. Anyway, the incident happened in the city of Middlesbrough early Friday morning when cops say they spotted the clown, Nate, lurking in a wooded area near the homes. According to the arresting officer, the now hunted Harlequin attempted to escape the scene. Wait, the now hunted Harlequin, get that?
Harlequin. A Harlequin is a type of
Harley Quinn.
Right, jester.
Yeah, like Harley Quinn.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where she gets the name.
That's nice. I'd never doubted you. Okay, attempted to escape the scene, but the police successfully stopped him and took him into custody. He tried to escape me.
Well, why not?
Upon being unmasked, the clown was revealed to be a 20-year-old man named Jonathan Martin, who looks far less menacing without his disguise. He now faces charges of disorderly conduct and wearing a mask in a public place, as well as forever being known. Wearing a mask in a public place, that sounds like a trumped-up charge to me.
No, we just discussed this last week, Sean. I told you that in New York City, they passed a law that in Central Park, there's no masks allowed in public place. And in many cities now, wearing a mask, except on Halloween or New Year's or like holidays that are allowed to have them, but wearing a mask in public is a illegal charge now because you are trying to conceal your identity, which means you are probably going to try and commit a crime.
Yeah, unless it's a religious thing, and then that's okay.
Well,
yeah. So anyway, they caught this cat. I wonder what that's like in prison. I mean, it's bad. You know, we always joke like if you illegally download a video.
You're sitting there and people are like,
Yeah, I shot my mom. Yeah, I held up a convenience store.
Yes.
Yeah, I killed a nun.
I dressed up like a clown. Yeah.
What did you do, clown shoes? Oh. He's got his little bell. Bend over now, buddy.
Nice to meet you, Ben.
Yeah, over. Bend over. Anyway, the 20-year-old, I assume, let's see here, let's read on. 20-year-old man named Jonathan Martin, now he faces charges of disorderly conduct and wearing a mask in public place, as well as forever being known as the creepy clown who got caught. And while Martin is due his day in court, kudos should be given to the courageous cop who found himself forced to chase down a phantom clown and get the job done. Faced with the same scenario, most of us would have run in the other direction. I wouldn't have, sir. I wouldn't have. You know, they should have shot him.
They don't scare me.
They should have just shot him dead. Then the whole Black Lives Matter thing, and they say, hey, look, we killed a clown. So he was... I'm not making light. But it would be funny.
Clown lives don't matter. It li-
they don't. I mean, we should have tasered him.
We're going to get clown hate mail now.
Yeah. I wonder what color clown poop is. Anyway... If you tasted, you'd find out. Nathan, before we forget, man. Ooh. Tonight's guest, he is a Russian/Venezuelan film actor and a stuntman. Best known for his incredible work as the Jin on Wishmaster 1 and 2, Air Force 1, and of course, the television smash hit Lost. He is a true artist both on and off the screen. And tonight, you will hear him right here in studio, Mr. Andrew Devoff stops by, guys, to chat it up right here at the Mystifying Oracle Radio with your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. Ain't that right, Nathan? Yeah, he's going to be right
here.
Yes,
sir, it is correct. Well, I was checking the that Twitter you were talking about.
Yeah, it's Jill. Get Jill.
Somebody's Andrew in... Hart is in the chat room over here. Yeah, giving us...
Yeah, put your chips down, Andrew. He's in the online gambling thing or something. And yeah, big shout out, Andrew. We love you. I'm gonna type that in here just in case he.
I'm in a good mood tonight, Sean. I played poker yesterday. I walked away a winner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy.
Did you get $3-4?
I actually more than doubled my money, so I was happy. I walked away with $9. but
25 cents.
Hey, also this week, Sean, TV.
Hey,
The Exorcist.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
You watch it?
You know, I did see that, man. Are you kidding me? You watch it. I went home from work early because I knew it was going to premiere. And I had the DVR. I got it all downstairs. I got it all set up because I didn't think I'd be home from work yet. But I got to say that I was pleasantly surprised, weren't you? I mean,
I was pleasantly surprised. In fact, I don't want to give spoilers out on this one, Sean.
No,
I really don't. I want people to watch it. I don't want to give out spoilers. I will say at the end of the episode, I think it jumped the gun.
Yeah.
On some of the scarier stuff. And I think there was a little bit too much CGI thrown in at the end.
Yeah. I'm feeling you there, man. I'm feeling you. I don't know about
CGI. But other than that.
The bird thing was, and that's all I'm going to say. That was all CGI.
Yeah. Well, the bird thing, the rat thing.
Mm-hmm,
both a little bit, and the image of something demonic thrown in there towards the end.
Yeah,
well, all of it a little bit over the top and too soon. Mm-hmm. They were building this great story, and I think to try and get people back next week, they threw that in there and they didn't need to. I think the story itself would have brought everybody back. I think they could have. Ended with that image with the one priest looking in the mirror, and that would have been enough there.
I really liked it when Father Karras, I believe that, not Father, Father Marin, they kept the names. I believe it was Father Marin. The old priest that he went to see.
Right.
Yeah. It's the same kind of thing, guys. Exorcist. But Nathan, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I do not think that this Exorcist television show is going to be able to go. You might as well come up with a Jaws television series. You cannot remake the classics. I mean, there is room for this. Hoop, hoop, hooray. But just like the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, That is a one-time story. That was a one-time event. I know that Sleepy Hollow came out, the television series. It was cool. Remember, we had just did our hunt for the Headless Horseman. We went there, and then the TV show came out. We were all excited. We watched it, and the first three or four episodes were amazing. Here he comes. He's looking for his head. They're in the old Dutch chapel and all this stuff. And then it goes nuts. You know, you got witches and people from all over the world coming. The horsemen of the apocalypse, the four horsemen. And I think they're going to have to. There's a reason why I would say Blatty, but I think some of the original people are involved in this. But there was a reason why they kept it with one, actually two good ones, which was our friend Chucky came on. Brad Dourif, he came on. He was, of course, made Exorcist 3, him and George C. Scott. And, of course, the first one with Linda Blair. And that was it. At that point, you dropped the mic.
Oh, you didn't like number two, Sean?
No, number two was... Devoff. Brad didn't even like it. Dourif, our Chucky man.
You do recognize, like, having seen Exorcist number two.
Yeah, absolutely.
They refer to, you know, Lucifer being the prince of the air.
Yes, well, they should.
And you notice in this episode, there's a lot of references to the air.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really nice imagery in this new series.
No, I agree with
and
you.
And if they can focus on providing us with this imagery and the storyline, which so far is very good.
Yeah.
I think this could go for a little while. And I mean, I think it's capable of keeping us involved for the whole season. Whether or not it will be able to go more than a season, well, that's to be seen.
Yeah, I think we're looking at one, maybe two seasons here. And I'm not saying, Nathan, that, you know, we're all for this. You and I love horror. We love this genre. But it is not going to stack up just by name alone. They're going to have to prove they have what it takes.
And you have to remember, too, Sean, when you have a genre series, there are followers of that genre, and they follow it.
That's right.
And that means it falls into a specific group of people. And as you and I both know from television,
that's right.
You cannot make a show for a specific group of people.
No, you can't.
You need to widen it to get people in from all different aspects so that they'll come and see it. If you're doing a show about ghosts, then you need to have it about ghosts, and you need to be talking to the people and provide the history, and you need to have spooky stuff happen, and you need to have shock like value happen, and you need to have there's never really love story stuff in a ghost show. Thank goodness it wasn't on our show. There were only three guys.
Well,
but
there could have been some love story stuff.
And but you know, you just need to keep upping it to get more people to watch. And Walking Dead did that by not making it about the zombies. It's about the people. So people watch it because nobody watches The Walking Dead to see the zombies.
Right.
I mean, if there's no zombies for three episodes, people start complaining.
That's right.
But if there's no Rick for three episodes, now people start to complain.
Yeah, people don't
really
know what the hell's going on.
It's about the people. And if this show is able to keep this about the people involved and not about the demon itself, I think they can go farther than if they just make it all about the demon.
I don't know.
I mean, let's face it. The movies are all about the demon.
They're already doing the head thing too much, man.
You gotta
reserve that. That's your closing move. You gotta close with that. You just can't have a movie where everybody's going bzz, 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 and their heads are snapping around. You can't. It kind of loses its appeal after you've seen the third one, you know?
Well, you know, it also does answer the question of, like, if the head turns around all the way, how does somebody survive?
Well, you need to go back and look at it, because I made a connection there from the actual movie to the TV show, and I thought, why did that happen to that kid but not the little girl in the... Anyway, Nathan, you've given away too much. Shame on you.
I know, but
shame on
hopefully
you.
I've given just enough to get people to go out there and watch it. I can't say enough about this. I mean, as much as I'm saying American Horror Story, watch it, give it a chance. Let's see where it goes, because it's so far it's good. I'm really impressed with The Exorcist.
Movoi
so
suppresse.
It makes you want to go out and become a priest.
Well, yeah. Whoa! You hear the music, guys, as Nathan chatters away. He must love that. But it's time for D&D Show in the News. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. It's fun and entertaining and kooky and sometimes new. And it starts right
now.
That didn't have the passion.
Now.
That's good. That's passion. Okay. You get two bells.
I get passionate points for that one.
What's the rules on this passionate points?
That let's talk about the rules. The rules of the Ghostbend and Demon Hunter show in the news. That's weird news, folks, that Sean and I picked right out of the papers because we like the titles. Yeah. We haven't read them yet, so we make a lot of mistakes. Every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's why it's called the G&D drinking game. Of course, if you're listening to us while driving in your car, we ask, do not play the G&D drinking game because we will not come and bail you out.
No.
If of course, you have something important to do this evening while playing the G&D drinking game, please listen responsibly.
Right. You can name drop us, folks. In a case, there could be a fan of our show that is at the police department. They could give you a break, Nathan. They could.
Hand out our business card. Give them our link. Mm-hmm. So, Sean, passenger buys terrifying doll.
Oh.
Its own seat on two separate flights.
That's not
funny. A creeped out woman spots it both times.
That's not funny, man.
I know how you love creepy dolls, Sean.
Oh, man, that's scary, dude.
Sarah Novak took social media complaining about being sat next to a terrifying baby doll.
Yeah.
Which reportedly had its own ticket.
Damn you, Sarah.
Hey, she just reported it. It wasn't hers.
Oh, okay. Take it back,
Sarah. An unlucky plane passenger documented her bizarre experience of being sat next to a doll on two flights.
Oh, my God.
Let me read you one of her tweets here, Sean.
I wish you would.
I got it right here. Let's see. Sarah Novak ended up next to a man who booked a seat on two flights. Barbara on a... Oh, I'm sorry. Have a drink, folks. Sarah Novak ended up next to a man who booked a seat for the figure Barbara on a trip to Cincinnati yesterday. The mystery flyer and his doll were visiting the giant Noah's Ark replica,
right,
built to specification, and the Creation Museum.
Oh.
Sarah from Brooklyn tweeted, "Good news. No person in the middle seat next to me. Bad news. Terrifying baby doll that belongs to the man in the window seat next to me."
Okay.
Writer Sarah Novak claimed that the flight attendant told the man not to book under Barbara's name next time they fly. apparently, the Mail Online reports it understands that the ticket was bought under the doll's name using fake passport details.
Dude, you're the man.
And went unchallenged until the airline staff noticed. Ms. Novak shared the first picture of the doll before departing the plane on a two-hour stopover.
Oh, my God.
So that came to us from the Mirror News in across the pond, Sean. Mm-hmm. I know how that would have made you. Could you imagine, Sean, if you wound up sitting next to a spooky doll on an airplane flight?
It would die. Wouldn't be able to make it. Would not be able to make it, man. Definitely.
Guy would get up and say, "I have to use the bathroom. Can you watch Barbara?"
Our good friend.
You'd be
friends,
like, "Sure, our good I'll watch her."
Yeah, I'll watch her right down the freaking toilet.
Suddenly, there's that whole Exorcist move where the head spins around.
A dog could survive that. Anyway, our good friends at the Mirror, always known to be good for their stories and most accurate. And anyway, the Mirror says Mystic Man claims he can tell woman's fortune by fondling her breastises.
Well, you've used that line, Sean.
I have. That's right. And it's got a picture.
Does it work for you?
It's got a picture of this old Chinese guy, and he's grabbing a honker, man. Yeah. Her all signs point to. What's it say? It says, "You shall wag the dog today." What's the fortune? All signs point to yes. Fortune. No, that's the magic eight ball. What's a common cookie, Chinese fortune cookie, say? What's a common? Your friend will be.
The ones I always get are either blank or say something like,
"Yeah,
you don't have any future.
Yeah, beautiful boobies was the one she got, apparently. Anyway, humans have invented some pretty wacky ways of predicting the future, Nate, over the centuries. But this man, Shadow Nation, might just have found the strangest. Kudos, sir, kudos. Humans have invented some pretty wacky ways, right, over the years, as we just said. But this guy found the strangest way of doing things, right? He apparently posted from China a video showing that an elderly man trying to tell a woman's fortune by cupping her breast as she looks on, baffled. Maybe he wasn't telling her fortune. They might have just got that picture of some guy, like a hit-and-run guy that's grabbing boobies.
Maybe she was underage and he was just using it as an excuse not to get arrested.
Yeah, I want to see what her sign was. Anyway. The short clip, guys, in the video shows myopia, drink up, guys, and shows the man holding a pair of crutches in his other hand, sitting impassively as he puts his hand inside the woman's top. He appears unmoved by what he sees in the woman's future as she rests her chin on her hand and even looks bored. He's not doing something right, Nate. Anyway, bystanders also seem bemused by the spectacle captured by a user called Zio Ewan Drink, guys, and which he has garnered hundreds of thousands of views. Congratulations, Mr. Ewan. So, and nobody can seem to, let's see there, the post prompted skeptical responses, and they misspelled skeptical, from commenters, yeah. One suggested it might be hard to find customers, and another said it's just really kinky. Geez, you think? Branches of divination in China that had found a more mainstream degree of acceptance include palm reading, face reading, and astrology over booby cupping. I don't know why they would, Nathan. I just don't know. But
I don't know.
Apparently, that's what they said. We're at 729.
Yeah. We're at 729.
We're at 729.
Well, I guess I don't really have time to read this one because I was just looking at it. It's a really long story. Ooh. But terrifying moment when corpse of child saint who died 300 years ago suddenly opens her eyes.
Oh my God, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That is creepy, man.
A terrifying moment where the saint who died over 300 years ago apparently opens his eyes. This also from the Mirror News, Sean. Tourists were visiting, and get ready to drink, folks, because this is all in Spanish. We're visiting a cathedral in Gualapayute in Jose in Mexico. I don't know.
Wait, I take that one bill back. You got Mexico right.
Where the preserved remains of Saint Ignatia, or Saint Ignatius, a little girl, are encased under glass. The visitor who was filming the tour of the holy building on his camera when he captured a moment where she appears to open her eyes. The frightening footage has been posted on YouTube and has been viewed nearly a million times. We have Dan Aykroyd on our show, and this gets a million hits.
That's crazy.
I know. The first sight of the corpse, which has been wax treated to preserve the whole face, hasn't decayed in 300 years. Mm. Looks like a statue. Mm-hmm. But the camera pans up and down the body and focuses on the face before the dead girl seemingly opens her eyes.
Oof, dude.
Many viewers have called out being a fake and believe it others believe it to be a sign. There are many different stories about the girl's early demise. Many of the people visiting, many popular visions, have a drink, folks.
Oh.
Is that she was a Mexican girl who wanted to make her first communion with her classmates, but it suddenly was suddenly forbidden by her father. It goes on to talk about the child, but it doesn't explain whether or not it's real or not, Sean.
It is forbidden.
It's forbidden. You cannot go to first communion.
This is forbidden.
But basically, Sean, it goes on to talk about the little girl's life, what people believe happened to her. Locals took the body and returned it to the cathedral where she was laid to rest, and it became a symbolic of, as a silent witness of the girl's deep love for Christ. So, I mean, I've seen the video, Sean. Yeah. It sure looks like somebody, like she's opening her eyes.
And this is the dead girl. This wasn't a statue.
No, it's a dead girl. They've encased the body in wax because a saint shouldn't decay, apparently. Right. For
is
some
it the little girl in the dress and the ribbons and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I've seen that, yeah.
And apparently, you know, what do you think? Are those eyes really opening? Is it a hoax?
I think it was the way of the camera, Nate. I think
is it a trick of the light?
I think it is. And I think because if you see the picture, it's taken from a different kind of angle and you see the crease of the eye open a little. And those eyes should have been sunk in by now anyway. There should be nothing there.
Well, if it's encased, I mean, look, if you go see the mummified corpse of Lenin, he's still there. They keep that whole thing going just fine.
Well, what are you going to do, man? Anyway, listen, that's creepy as heck. But guys, we got to go to break. Tonight's guest, he's a Russian-Venezuelan film actor and a stuntman, best known for his incredible work as the Djinn on Wishmaster, Air Force One, and Lost. He's a true artist both on and off the screen. Tonight, he's going to blow your mind. Mr. Andrew Devoff stops by studio right here, Mystifying Oracle Radio. Another big one we're bringing home. Absolutely. Anyway, Nathan, what do you say we go to break?
Let's go to break.
All right, guys. The name of tonight's band, because each week we play an independent band. We support the little man on this show. One we know, we love, don't we, Nathan?
You keep telling me we're going to break. I keep muting myself. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Love them. Of course I love them. What are you talking about?
Name of tonight's band, guys, is called Halloween Head. Yes, you're welcome, world. Name of the song is Carol. Nathan?
Sean.
Shadow Nation, we'll be right back.
After this.
We run in circles. Hi, this is David Harbour from Netflix's Stranger Things, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest, he is a Russian-Venezuelan film actor and a stuntman, best known for his incredible work as the Djinn on Wishmaster, his work on Air Force One, and of course the TV smash hit Lost. He is a true artist both on and off the screen. Shadow Nation, help us welcome Mr. Andrew Devoff to studio. Andrew, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah.
yeah. I got a strange thing happening with my phone. Sorry, kids.
Jeez.
The speaker goes in and out. So, you know, unless I use the speaker, I can't talk to anybody. But at any rate, come Monday, I'll be taking care of that. But how are you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. And it's a great honor to have you on tonight, Andrew.
You know,
honored to be on your show.
Thanks, it's bro. Funny, Andrew, just like a week ago, Sean was saying, I wish we could get Andrew on the show. And here you are. Of course, now he acts like he has no soul. So we're really worried. But
well, he's got two more wishes.
Oh, okay. So, you know,
well, I will take his soul. But before the end of the world comes around, he's got a couple more wishes.
Well, somehow, Andrew, this interview is going to flip for the worst and my ass is gone. You know, you're going to kill me. So somehow that, but you know, that's the most incredible work you've done. Of course, everybody knows about that. I've done my research on you for years. I've stalked you, sir. But yeah, I know. But you know, a lot of people don't know you off the screen. They know your amazing stuff you've done on the screen, and you're so humble and you're a beautiful person. You're an artist.
Thank you.
You know? Talk about your art, what you're into, your passion.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've been sort of dabbling ever since I was a kid. Both my parents were artists. My mother more of a watercolorist, and my father more into the oils, some watercolor, and so I guess you could say that some of the DNA rubbed off of me. But yes, indeed, I sculpt. I love to paint in oils, and I have, as a matter of fact, I have sculpted my homage to the Djinn, something I call the Djinn ring.
Oh my God!
And it is about 2 ounces of silver, and it's sculpted all around 360. And it's the head of the Djinn, and I wear it on my finger, and so that thing that took me about 200 hours to sculpt. But among other things, I am involved in what seems to be a never ending home remodeling project where I'm actually including a lot of woodwork that I do and sort of distressing it. Making it more rustic and highlighting sort of Native American symbolism. So I, as I do live in the Southwest, and you know, I like to sort of reflect it in my home in the place that I am. And so I'm hoping that this has been about a year of solid just being here doing this. I'm hoping that that once I finish it and I'm able to get back on the road and work.
Yeah,
I know that first time back home is going to be special. You know, it just is because it'll, as I say, my home will reflect me, and I'll feel, you know, almost like I'm being embraced coming home after what usually, I mean, work as glamorous as it can be, it tends to be rigorous.
Now, Andrew, Nathan, did you have a question on that?
I was just listening to him about the art, and I can't tell you how much respect I have for artists because I have no ability to do art myself.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of realism.
I doubt that. I mean, everybody has ability. It's just a matter of bringing it out, and I think in the right way, and starting off, of course.
I did have a bit of a touch of trying out my hand at charcoal art when I was younger, and I figured I needed to have like an edge to it. So instead of using charcoal, I was using gunpowder. But of course, then one person lit up a cigarette inside my studio, and the whole thing blew up in my face. So it was.
Oh my goodness! Well, yeah, we're gonna have to move you into less volatile medium here. You know,
apparently,
maybe,
yes.
You're not supposed to paint.
Maybe
with pencil.
We got to get you back to the chalk. But chalk is a wonderful medium, and a very it's amazing the shades, the sort of the different textures you can get out of one piece of chalk.
Andrew, well, I actually do like doing cubist and abstract art, because when other people don't get it, I can just say it was my image. It was what I was trying to go for.
There you go.
You know,
truer words were never said. Art is in the eye of the beholder, no question.
That's it. I got into self-portraits. I was really big in that in art school. I was big in that in high school. You know, when they used to, you would take your own picture, and then they would make you graph it off, and you'd do piece by piece.
Right.
I got really into that, man. I loved it. I poured myself into that. And by the way, some of our fans, probably about 30,000 worth, they're asking for you to post a pic on our Facebook page, the Ghost Man Demon Hunter Facebook page, of the ring you've made. Or the bus.
Oh, they bet.
They got to have it. They're like, we got to see this thing. And
no, absolutely. I'm happy to do that. I'll do that, and I'll post a. I did a study of something I'm calling the Jinn's Chalice, and it'll be a mixed medium piece. It's going to be it'll essentially be the Jinn's hand, and you'll be able to place that on a table. It'll stand there. The hand will be upright, and it'll be holding a ruby chalice. From which you can drink, and literally you'll lift the glass out of the Jinn's hand, take a drink from it, and put it back in his hand. And so that the sculpting the hand is not a problem, right. But I do need to learn how to blow glass. And I understand I'm doing my research now, because hopefully at the end of this remodel thing, I'll have some time to go. Sort of some me time, and what I'd really like to do is go and learn how to blow glass.
Well, you know,
so I'm if any of your fans have any pointers, places or towns or people, and can point me in their direction, I'd appreciate it.
Andrew, you got to come to Indiana, brother. Where I'm at, they have Brown County, Indiana, and I think it's the glass blowing capital of the world. And it has a bunch of little shops, and people go down there in the fall on the leaves and the covered bridges. But you walk through the downtown area, and they have like an old town blacksmith, and they have a guy there that blows glass. And you just watch these things. One guy's out there carving, you know, wood stumps into Indian Chief Cigar Store, Indian stuff like that. I love it. Watch that for hours.
Right.
So
well, I'd love to see that. You know, I was just out there for Horror Hound, and of course, when we do the shows, there's a very little time to ourselves, and whatever there is usually catching up on some sleep, because more often than not, we're all hanging out with the fans like, you know, 2 a.m.
Well, Brad Dourif was on the show week before last, and he was dead tired too. He was out there. We said, "How are you enjoying Indianapolis?" He said, "I don't know, man. It's pouring down rain. I'm looking out the window."
He said, "I haven't seen anything but my hotel room and the stadium here." It's
Well, that's even the little bit that I saw out there was really wonderful. I try to get away, didn't have time this time, but I try to get away to see a bit of the downtown, you know, so I will look forward to doing that next time up.
Well, yeah, call me and Nate. We'll take you out there, man.
That's
cool. When you're
I'll
doing,
take up on that.
Absolutely. When you're doing your artwork, Andrew, when you're looking in the eyes of the Jinn, you're doing the bust and the ring and everything, because you did his head sculpt, right?
I beg your pardon?
You did a head sculpt of the... of the Jinn, right?
I did. Well, for my ring.
Right, yes. For the ring. When you're looking at something like that, a piece, and is there a difference between how you prepare to play a role of some iconic figure like that to when you're putting that into the piece you're doing? Do you have to, how do you prepare for the different, because that's all art. How do you prepare for the different arts to make it with one?
You know, yeah, you know, that's a good question. My overriding concern on this piece was the fact that it was my first time sculpting in jeweler's wax. Now, I took the long way around. I literally took these dental tools to it and was scraping away, infinitesimally small amounts of wax. And at the end of a 10-hour day of carving, you know, it seemed nothing had changed. And yet at the end of those 200 hours, I was left with my Jinn ring, and I will indeed share it with you on the page. You know, so my as I say, my concern was getting used to the medium. Once I had gotten used to the medium, of course, I was a friend of mine who he and his wife have a jewelry shop up here. You know, they told me I brought it in, and on a whim, I said, you know, can you guys, you know, point me in the direction of somebody who can cast this for me? And they looked at it and they said, you know, this is wonderful, beautiful, very detailed work. But did you know, because they saw me, I was in the midst of sort of clearing out the hole for the finger, essentially, in the ring. It was one block of wax. Yeah. And they said, first of all, you know, they make blanks. And I said, what do you mean blanks? I said, well, I mean, a piece of wax that already comes with the hole. And I said, okay. And then they said, and by the way, you can take a Dremel to jeweler's wax. I said, what? So apparently you can take a Dremel to jeweler's wax without melting it. And that probably would have shaved a good, goodness, a good 100 hours at least off the process.
I was going to say, that's 50 to 100 hours there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? But it was a learning process, and so now I've gotten a little beyond that. You know, the one thing that I wanted. So we know that art is in the eye of the beholder, and in the case of this particular ring, I did want people who were familiar with my work in the Wishmaster to sort of look at the ring and get an eerie feeling. And there's one of the things that I did when I sculpted the Jin's eyes is I brought them more to a point so that in fact the eyes are more conical than they are spherical. And so what that does is regardless of, so you can set the ring down on a mantle or on a table, and you yourself can move 2 feet to the right and 2 feet to the left, and you'd swear that thing is still staring you right in the eyes.
That's one of those. That's all.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool little thing I wanted to make sure it would kind of, you know, give people the creeps.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it might be kind of funky preparing for that, because the Wishmaster, the Djinn, is you. I'm sorry. That's it. Yeah. Wishmaster 3, forget about all that. 1 and 2. The Wishmaster, everybody knows the boogeyman.
I have a lot of love for it, and for Peter Atkins and Robert Kurtzman, of course.
Oh yeah,
and just the whole process, both 1 and 2, and Jack Shoulder as well, because they honestly love the monster. You could tell that they loved the monster, and they wanted to play with the fans. They wanted to. It really is a give and take with the fans. It can't be a matter of putting something out and for fans that you've built up and then say, here, take this. That's not the way that works.
Well, I thought with your
and
art...
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Andrew.
No. I feel, you know, not possessive of the thing. I mean, I love to watch other actors in that role, and I didn't feel sort of mean or have nasty thoughts about the actors who came in. Listen, it's tough enough as it is. There are so many. I mean, we are literally walking against a 100-mile-an-hour wind every day we're out there working.
Yeah.
So I mean, just to get a job is already a big feather in the cap. So I tend not to want to sort of just throw dead roses in anybody's road. I'm it's not my style.
Sure.
So but having said that, I can tell you that that the Wishmaster, that Nathaniel Demarest and the Djinn they changed my life doing that, and are two of my favorite characters, because as we know, that the Djinn and Demarest are two different characters. I mean, it's no way around it.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely agree, Nathan. You were a huge fan, Nate, of the Wishmaster series, right?
I am a huge fan of it. I never forget watching that the series the first time, or the first movie.
Right.
And she's going through all this stuff and finding the gem, and then the statue breaks. And I'm excited just talking about it. I can't get the words out. But I never forget watching after she made the second wish, going, why didn't you just wish that you never found the gem?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It was that just seemed obvious to me. But and when it happened, of course, I felt good about myself. And then, of course, I was like, Well, they've left it open, obviously, can come back, that kind of stuff. And but I having studied people's belief systems and having such an interest in the djinn to begin with, you know, the djinn being a creature of smoke, you know, in the beginning, you know, God created man from the earth. He created angels from light and he created the djinn from smoke. And in that particular in that belief system, the djinn is not necessarily evil. The djinn doesn't have to be evil. The djinn has free will, just like mankind does.
Yes, yes, he does. And what he's counting on is sort of the man's weakness. And I mean, you give him a wish, he takes 2.5. You know, I mean. So definitely the djinn in Persian mythology, the djinn really was about playing on sort of on the worst habits of mankind. I mean, and it's it wasn't too hard. He didn't have to go too far to find examples of that. So really, I mean, he's seen as a trickster. You know, it really goes back to that to the aphorism, which is be careful what you wish for.
Right. Well, yeah, because somebody sits there saying, you know, I want to be a performer and I want to make lots of money and I want people to love watching me perform, and you know, I just want to have, you know, the perfect life and have all the sex I want. And all, that person wakes up as a stripper
or a monkey or something. Yeah. Organ grinder.
Well, you know, see, there you go. This is the wonderful thing about the Wishmaster series, is that it allows these forums to come up on, you know, on what would be the wishes that you might hear the djinn say. You know, interestingly enough, we were doing one on my Facebook page about what the djinn would never say, and this is apropos. So I mentioned that I brew a beer. I have been doing so for 2 years.
Oh.
And again, this is an homage more to the fans, but also to the to that series, to the djinn. And so I call it Djinn's Hellebrew. It is a Belgian golden strong ale. Oh. It comes in, the ABV on it comes in at an average of 10. I brewed up about 6 batches so far, and so it is. It's a Belgian golden strong, spiced with habanero peppers and Persian lime.
Oh.
Persian lime, of course, as a doff of the cap to the djinn. Yeah. And so I one of the things that I was pouring recently at my local brewfest, the Lake Arrowhead Brewfest, which happens second Saturday in August, and my goal this year was to raise. We started out with a goal of $500 for one scholarship, and I kept thinking about that and believing that I could do better. And so I said, no, here's the goal. We're going to raise 2 $500 scholarships, one for a boy, one for a girl, so that they may pursue their dreams in performing arts. And then I didn't feel like that was pushing the envelope enough. So I got together with my Facebook fans and I twisted their arms, and boy, they're the best fans in the world. I got to tell you, the night before, really 2 nights before that Saturday, I pushed them to buy my rings and buy my t-shirts and buy the my pictures and the prints. And before I ever poured the first glass of beer on that Saturday morning, I had raised $993.
Nice.
And so, long story short, we have 2 scholarships at $1,000 apiece for one boy and one girl from my local high school.
Very cool.
One of the things that I said you would never hear the djinn say is, oh, wow, that's way too hot. And somebody came up and took a sip of that beer, and they literally said that. So I brought that into a conversation where we were sort of having a forum discussing, you know, what would the wishes be and the things that the djinn would never say. And that is certainly one of them. The interesting part of that is that the young lady who said that stuck around and said, you know what, but I'll try some more.
Once the throat goes numb, it gets easy.
Really, it was cool. It was cool to see. She came around.
Well, you know, it's kind of a beer show here. We've been on for 10 years. We do monsters, horror, paranormal, everything, Spookfest on this show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we raise money for a lot of good causes. We support the SYL Project, stuff like that. And we also do a beer of the week, or we try to. So, you know, this time of year.
This week, Sean, the beer of the week, it should be the Gin Hellafest there, but yeah, I didn't have a bottle. Spot and Oktoberfest is in my studio.
Yeah, I got Pumpkick, Belgium. And you were talking about that Belgium.
That's cool. That's cool.
Well, you said yours
is
a Belgian.
Yeah, I was really, really excited. You know, speaking of the Horror Hound, there was Scarlet Lane Brewery, which is a local brewery to you.
Yeah.
There came out and they did a Horror Hound brew, and it was wonderful. It was not your usual. It was an IPA, but it wasn't your usual IPA. It didn't have that overly hoppy, bitter taste. Very nice, went down very nicely, and drinking a couple of those was really a pleasure, and so my hat's off to the Scarlet Lane guys for doing that, you know, for supporting horror in that way. And I think this is I'd like to see more of it with my horror brothers and sisters. Because there's nothing now, of course, you know, depending, I mean, if they're cool with drinking, some of them, of course, do not, but that's what non-alcoholic beer is about, I suppose, you know, but the coolest thing was to be able to provide something that sort of, you watch people's faces, they have to think about it, the brain hooks up with the tongue, with the taste buds, and you can see the gears moving. And then, by the way, here's, they give me $10 to put into the charity, into the kitty, and everybody's happy. You talk about a win-win, and so it's one thing to ask for a donation and to say that this is a righteous cause because, but if you get into a conversation and over a beer that you poured specifically to drive funds in these charities, it's just a different universe, and it's just a really cool place to be. And as I say, it's a win-win. I feel great about, you know, being able to provide a kick-ass brew, and I feel greater about the fact that the fans and the people receiving it are absolutely happy to support the cause. So as I say, win-win.
How do you mellow out the pepper, the burn there? It can't be real hoppy if it's a Belgium.
So you know, the first batch that I did, I actually included it in the initial boil, and that was hot as hell. Yeah. And so I had to bring it back. And so now what I'm doing is putting it into the dry hop. And I'm not going to give away too many secrets, but one of the things that I like, you know, toasting your dry hop, regardless of what it is, could be almonds, could be a whole array of fruits and veggies. Toasting it it sears that flavor into the fruit itself, and then releases it into the once it is in the dry hop, releases it into the beer, into the alcohol. And the beauty of this beer, and I wish I could have sent you one out. I'm not at that point yet. But I'm working on getting being a brewery. I have the paperwork. It's in the works right now. But I would love you to be sitting there drinking when we could talk about it. But the time will come. The time will come. And I think the beauty of this beer is as it, you know, we love to think of our beers, you got to have it ice cold, and you swig it down and it's gone, then you have another ice cold beer.
Right.
The beauty about the Gin's Hellebrew is that you drink it in a goblet, and the reason for that being that that your hand is literally going to warm up the beer and going to bring the esters to the fore so that you can taste all the different little subtle hints of flavors that change as the temperature of the beer changes. And so even what you might normally consider a warm beer is still tasty. And I don't know, for one weird reason, it still tastes cold, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because just last week I went to a wine tasting, and the gentleman who was providing the information for the wine tasting had made a comment to the fact that
people who drink beer and white wine always want these things to be cold. And all the flavor comes out when it's warm. And that doesn't have to be hot, doesn't have to be like more than room temperature. But when it when it's at a good low warmth, the flavors pop in your mouth.
Yeah, I think, you know, you probably start off at about 42, and then you get to about 55, between 55 and maybe even pushing 60, and now you're really starting to get those flavors, those esters are coming out, and you're saying, what in the heck is that? And it's interesting that it's almost like frequencies. We hear, and certain animals hear different frequencies. Well, our taste buds sort of go along on a parallel. They will taste different things depending on their temperature, you know, the optimal temperature for that particular thing. So I mean, this is the really wonderful part of you know, the Trappist monks over in the old country, Belgium, the Netherlands, who have been brewing beer for hundreds, if not thousands, years. And all of these little tricks and secrets have come back. And the beautiful thing to see is that now they're coming back over here and they're saying, wait, hold on. We would like to buy a piece of that.
Right.
And this is wonderful. This is really, for instance, Duvo, which is one of my favorite Belgian beers, and that's about an 8-9 ABV, just a wonderful, rich thickness to it, beautiful head, also drunk in a goblet. They just put a lot of money into Firestone Walker, and that, boy, if that doesn't make you just want to, I mean, it makes me proud when I hear that. You know, I mean, you know, the old world is coming back and revisiting and saying, you know what, how did we miss this?
Oh, yeah.
So it's nice.
Well, you know,
hey, Andrew, I've got to ask here. Did you have another beer question, Sean? I don't want to change the subject.
No. Go ahead. I got lots of beer questions, man.
Because we get a lot of genre actors in here. And of course, when people work in a genre like horror or sci-fi or something, there's the jobs that come in between. And so many people who've come on the show have told us the cop show is the saving grace of every genre actor.
Sure, absolutely.
And I looking over your stuff, I couldn't help but notice that you have been on both my wife's favorite show, which is CSI Miami.
Okay, great.
And my favorite show, which was Burn Notice, and you played Ivan in both of them.
Wow, wonderful! Yeah, that's the Russian influence. And you know, it's true. It's interesting, but the cop show, they do.
Uh-oh. We still there, Andy? Cut out just a little. I think it's his speakerphone. It's all right.
He's still... There you go.
Can we hear him?
Still... No.
That's all right. We'll just kick it around, man. It's Andy Devoff. We're not going anywhere.
Are you still there, Andrew?
Yeah.
We'll give it a...
He can hear us.
He can hear us. We just can't hear him.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, though. You get the Wishmaster guy, and the man himself comes on and talks about beer.
On a show that lives for beer.
He just fulfilled my wish.
He's all lit up here. He should. I wonder if he knows that we can't hear him.
I don't know. I'm sure he can hear us. Because
he hung up. No, he didn't. Okay. Should I try and call him back there, Sean?
Yeah, go ahead. We can do that. This is live radio, guys.
Yeah, this is the way it works. Let's try and get him back.
We're going to call you back, Andy.
Let's give you a quick call here. Yeah. See if you pick up.
He might pick up.
Maybe his Bluetooth ran out of juice.
I don't know. He said his phone's been wacky. So I don't know. I don't know. If he did, we'll have to end it on that and then call him back. And
hello.
There Andy! He is.
Did we drop out?
Where did I drop out, guys?
Sorry.
No,
okay. You were discussing the we were discussing the aspect of the cop show in an actor's, you know, life.
Yes.
And we lost you.
I'm sorry. So in fact, you know, yes, I both the shows that you mentioned, CSI Miami and Burn Notice, wonderful participations. I had a great time on both of them. And I must say, David Caruso was a wonderful guy, very intense into his thing, but really, really, really cool. And, you know, I was saying that it's nice to have these shows that show off our the multifaceted actor, allow an actor to, you know, be a genre actor, be it horror, be it sci-fi, action, all of which I've delved in quite heavily. But I must say I'm very proud of my participation in CSI and Burn Notice, and Law and Order, SVU, and Blacklist as well. And I really have to send props out to the producers of those shows for supporting genres and for bringing actors in because they appreciate their work.
Right. Well, it's funny too because I've
genre lines.
I've never considered you to be a genre actor. I considered you to be more of you definitely had that screen presence that you could do anything. But do you feel that you've been boxed in as a genre actor?
Oh no! I an actor's job is to act. Sometimes we do three genre things in a row and then split off and do our other stuff. But an actor's job, as I say, is to act, is to discover, is to put himself in situations where he feels uncomfortable, but ultimately always knowing that he has to get the message, get the character, get the persona across to the viewer.
Right.
And that's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. So I never feel boxed in, and I always I go back to the fact that I speak a few languages, and that is of course helped in my career. And I quote Thomas Jefferson, who says that a person is as many different people as the languages he speaks, and that speaks particularly to culture, the culture that goes along with a language, which somebody brings into their person when they are using another language. So that has helped immensely, and also helped me feel that I am never boxed in. I'm never what's the word? A typecast.
Right. No. Ever. That's the thing. Andy's fluent in 8 different languages, Nate.
I saw that, and when I saw that, I was sitting there thinking, I have trouble with 2.
The English language. I have a problem with that. Yeah. Anyway.
You know, well, I grew up listening to people speak German, and I still mess up the words.
That's wonderful, though. I mean, even just hearing that different cadence that, every language has its own beat. Just hearing that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that helps open the mind.
Yeah. Well,
it does it subliminally. It's not necessarily that you're aware of it, but there's a rhythm in your mind that's already there that has nothing to do with the cultural rhythm that you live in. And so that's what's really wonderful about languages.
It's so funny, too, because when I was in school and I worked in a newspaper for a while, people would joke all the time because when I speak, I went to elocution lessons. I went to broadcasting school and I learned to speak properly for the radio. But when I Right. when I write, people laugh because I'll always put that second verb at the end of the sentence. Because that's the way my brain thinks of it when I'm writing. And Right. that's the way it's done in German. So it's like I'll literally... People will laugh because you'll see me write a line that says something like, throw the horse over the fence some hay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I get it. No.
You'll get something like, throw some hay over the fence, or throw the horse over the fence, some hay. Yeah, it's weird when it's typed out and people will look at it and they'll laugh and they'll be like, Nathan, you need to fix this. And if I see it, I can go back and fix it. But my brain works in that language, so. Yeah.
That's good.
I type like Yoda.
But that's kind of cool. I mean, it's also, again, your own drum beat.
Yeah. Did you ever use it, Andy, like on a date? You know you have. When you were younger, you'd go out on a date and you'd tonight I'm going to be Irish. Tonight I'm going to be German. Women love that.
I was a limo driver for a few years. And this would allow me to sort of pick my own schedule. And I remember there was a show called 30 Something with mm-hmm. Ken Olin and company. And I didn't have any sort of a resume whatsoever. So I found out that the casting director wouldn't see me because I didn't have an agent who was big enough and so forth. So
wow.
I found out where their offices were, and I just dropped off in Beverly Hills in the limo, and I went up in a total Russian immigrant persona. And I said, you know, I understand you won't see me for the episode. I just wanted to come in here and meet you and read and so forth. So I got the episode. I played that accent all the way through, played it in the show itself.
That's awesome.
And I never let on that that I wasn't a Russian immigrant until the show was over and we were handing out thank you cards. And I just dropped the accent altogether. And, you know, to this day, the casting people, oh, boy, they said, you little son of a gun. They got kind of twisty on it, but by the same token, they said, we do have to pat you on the back because you got the job. So, you know, in situations like that, it did help. As far as dates and so forth, my early dating experience, I was already over in Spain. My mom worked with the State Department, so she was transferred over there. I was in Barcelona, and I was going to school in Barcelona, and I would go up the coast to hang. And so that really gave me the opportunity to speak many different languages on dates, and to actually learn German. My first girlfriend there up the coast was out of Hamburg.
Oh.
Buxtehude Niedersachsen. So I got to pick up some German and practice with her, and just a wonderful beach life for a kid who had no idea which way his compass was pointing.
Right. You know, we didn't get to talk about that either.
I
know we're out of...
practiced a lot of French, but never learned to speak it.
Yeah.
It was, let's see. Okay, nobody gets that joke.
No. Forgive me. I'm a clumsy dude, and I'm the last guy in the room to get a joke, so you'll have to forgive me.
No. But, Andrew, I know we kept you over, brother, and what's next for the big man? What's next for Andrew?
Well, you know what? You know, I'll tell you something. I'm dying to go over to Ireland and get my Irish passport. I was born in Venezuela, and even though a lot of the, for instance, I think it's Internet Movie Database has me listed as a Venezuelan actor, I don't chafe at that. I do, however. So my mom was American, of Irish heritage, and my father was a straight Russian heritage, old noble Russian family, and sort of emigrated to Venezuela to work in the oil fields, and you know, because that's what was happening then and there.
Right.
But I, you know, I'm very proud to be an American. I was born in Venezuela, but I just, you know, next for me is heading over. By virtue of having an Irish grandpa, I can have that passport. I just want to keep busy, brothers. I want to keep traveling, learning new things, and you know, staying busy.
Tell us a little bit about Alice.
Hey, Alice is absolutely wonderful. I mean, rarely do I read a movie and does it give me the creeps. I'll read a particular scene and I go, oh my. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, I kind of can wait, but I can't wait to see that on film, because I'm a fairly squeamish, believe it or not, certainly when it comes to the slashers, but I have a tough time sitting still, you know, for these movies. This is wonderful. It stars Darby Ann Walker, Nina Simashko. I got to work with them. We sort of do the prologue, if you will, to the film, and it was absolutely wonderful. Produced by Malik Akkad of Halloween fame, and directed by Michael Kehoe, really, really did a great job. John T. Connor was the cinematographer on it. But I would say, you know, please keep an eye out for it. Now, Darby Ann Walker is, incidentally, she's on The Voice, and she's doing quite well, I understand. And so. One of the things I'll have to fix after my remodel is my television situation. So I'm not able to keep up with a lot of it. So I'm having to go to my computer constantly and log in. But Darby Ann Walker is not only a wonderful singer, she is she's a wonderful, very free actress, and it'll definitely come across. And I'm so proud to have been part of that cast. And so, yes, please. I think it's out at the beginning of the year, of this coming year. So I'm about, I think, fairly close to seeing a first screening of it. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Oh,
on,
that'd be awesome.
See, but everybody's very excited about it. I am as well. And I would just say a tidbit for your fans and for the listeners out there. I understand that there is a Blu-ray in the works for Wishmaster, and that's all I can say about that. Ooh. But FYI, I know people have been asking about that for 20 years, and incidentally, 2017 will be the 20th year anniversary of the Wishmaster, so we're trying to come up with some, you know, new goofy stuff to do on some of these conventions. So I'm looking forward to, you know, to celebrating the 20th year anniversary, and I'm just lucky to have been part of a little cult classic. I'll tell you what, and I
well, it's not that little in my opinion, Andrew.
No,
it's not that little in my opinion. I do have to ask you, because I ask anyone who's been on the show who was on Lost, I have to ask this question because people get mad at me if I don't. What was the island? What was the island, Andrew?
You know, that was the inside of an Omega watch. If you remember the finale when he's twisting that gear, it's you know, I mean, I was looking at that, I'm thinking, holy crap! But you know, the island. I mean, I guess you could say, and even from the start, okay, true enough, no man is an island. Yet we all have concepts of what an island is. We all grew up watching that marooned pirate on an island, and the sort of the things that took place after, you know, ending up on an island marooned, and that I think is one of the fantasies, so one of the romantic fantasies that we all have, being on an island, an absolutely beautiful island. Once you figure out where the food is and how you can survive, then the reality of I'm on this beautiful damned island, I can't get off it, and I'm already tired of it. So I mean, the island was a trip of its own, and there again, I got to tell you, I am so lucky and again proud to have been part of that cast and that situation, which for me was an earth shaker and a world changer when it comes to television. You know, when I died the first time on the island, I thought, well, that's it for me, because I was usually the last guy to, you know, be informed about what was going on. And it was so cool because there is life after death in Lost, as it turns out. And, you know, so that was kind of a cool sort of breaking of rules there. And just the fact that the character was so complex, so cool, and that. That supporting cast, I mean, come on, Naveen Andrews, Evangeline Lilly, those people were great. They were great to me, and it was just absolutely wonderful to be on that island. And all of you who have been to Hawaii, you know, I mean, the feeling on that island is absolutely, it's a different paradisical place. And were it not for the people on the island, for the Hawaiians, it wouldn't be that way. Yeah, so I always, and I still have brothers and sisters over there that I consider family. And so there again, that really sort of changed my life, and I am I'm grateful for that participation to this day.
Well, Andy, I hope you consider us friends now, and when you come back to Indianapolis or Connecticut and Danbury, where Nate's at, I hope you look us up. You got our phone number, so.
Well, thank you. I will, and I do, and big shout out to all your fans. Thanks for tuning in, and I will follow up with that. If you don't mind, give me. I know that I'm hooked up to your page.
Here's the easiest way to get to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Facebook page.
Okay.
You go to ghostanddemon.com. That's www.ghostanddemon.com. And at the top of the page, there's a link that says "Join the Shadow Nation." And if you click on that, you will come to our Facebook page, and you can post it right there.
Or I'll just send you a Facebook friend request.
I will do so. I'm going to get busy with that tonight. And
thank
I'll
you very
send
much,
because
now I don't have to say that to everybody later.
Yeah.
No, that's very cool. That's very cool. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for your time. And,
Andy, could you stay on the line?
To the fans listening.
You bet.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night.
You bet.
Can you stay on the line for just 1 minute while we close out the show? Because we'd love to talk to you for 1 minute when we're done.
Sure.
All right, guys.
Awesome.
Let's say to pay the bills, Nathan.
It's time to pay the bills. I'm sorry I talked over you there, Sean.
Oh, that's okay. I'm used to it. Anyway,
10 years, you should be used to it by now.
Yeah, I am. The Wishmaster guys, Andrew Devoff himself. Wow. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal Smart Radio, Spreaker, the world's listening. How about you? Check them out, Spreaker.com. Geeky Antics Network, Serious Geeks, Silly Fun, GeekyAntics.net, Attentive Home Healthcare, AttentiveHHC.com, and the ASYL Project. Give, share. Everybody needs the love. Check them out at theSYLproject.org. From the Haunted Back Roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D Show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Absolutely. Ooh, it's spooky. Night, guys.